Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Moed Katan Daf Yud Gimel. We are holding on daf Yud Beis Amud Beis. We are at Amar Rav Yosef, about halfway down the page on daf Yud Beis Amud Beis. The last word on the line are Amar Rav, are the last two words on the line. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, an honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored in memory of Max Waltuck, Mordechai Ben Usher Zelig, by Sheldon Waltuck and his family. We thank the Waltucks and the Landers very much for the sponsorship. The neshama of Max Waltuck should have an aliyah. So again, we are holding halfway through the page on daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, and the Gemara is going to discuss certain things that Amoraim did that other Amoraim were upset by, that they thought that they were doing things improperly. Then we're going to have a Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Beis, where it's going to talk about a melacha of Dovra Aved on Chol HaMoed, and the Gemara is going to have a discussion whether Kansu Beno Acharav, that if we're going to make a knas, that if you do a malacha when you're mechavin malachta l'moed, even though you're allowed to do a malacha stavra aved, you're not allowed to plan in advance that I don't want to take care of it now before Yontif, so I'll just wait until chol HaMoed. That you're not allowed to do, and if you do that, you're not allowed to get hana'a from the malacha. So the Gemara questions, okay, what about your children? Are they allowed to get hana'a from the malacha? What if the person who did the malacha dies? Can his children get hana'a from the malacha? So the Gemara is going to have several rayas, whether kansu b'no acharav or lo kansu. Then the Mishnah on Amud Aleph and the ensuing Gemara is going to discuss selling things for Tzorech HaMoed, whether the Tzorech is for the seller, and if it makes a difference if the Tzorech is for the buyer. Then the Gemara is going to compare the Isra of Malacha on Chol HaMoed to the Isra of Malacha on Erev Pesach and Erev Yom Tov. Then the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph is going to talk about moving Kalim around on Chol HaMoed, not an actual malacha, but excessive tircha, moving things from one place to another. Then the next Mishnah and the ensuing Gemara is going to talk about more activities that are a tircha, but are not necessarily a full malacha. And that conversation, Brother Shem, will take us to the end of the second perek of Maseches Moed Katan. So let's begin. We got a lot of catching up to do. Last thing we learned yesterday was that Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya went out with a signet ring on Chol HaMoed, and he also drank water that was cooked by a non-Jew, and Rabbi Ami heard about that, and he got upset about it. So I'm Rabbi Yossi, my time at Ikbid, why was Rabbi Ami upset at Rabbi Denisiya? Mishum chamarta d'madusha, if it's because it's the signet ring that he went out with was not a kishut. A person is allowed to go out with things that are considered to be a kishut, that are considered to be decorative, right? That's the machlokas tanayim, whether one is allowed to wear a weapon on Shabbos. Do we consider that to be a kishut, or do we consider that to be not a kishut? So that's machlokas tanayim in Masech Shabbos. So that which is decorative is considered like an item of clothing you're allowed to wear. So is it because he was upset about the signet ring because it's not made as a kishut and therefore you're not allowed to walk out with it? But Rabbi Ami thought that it's muktza, and Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya didn't even walk out with it to the Rosh Hashanah. He just went out to the chatzar with it. But Rabbi Ami thought it was muktza. But Hatanya, but we learned in the Brais Hashirun and Zam Tabaos, different types of tachshitim, even though you're not allowed to wear them because we're afraid you're going to go out with them to the Rosh Hashanah and then you're going to take them off. Harein kekola kelim ani tolim b'chatzar. They still have a din of a kli, and you're allowed to carry them around a chatzar. They have a din of a kli shemlachto li'isur, so you're allowed to be metal to them l'tzorach kufan l'tzorach mekoman. And when you're not metal to them derech kishut, you're allowed to take them out to the chatzar as well. So the chumrasu d'madusha, this type of signet ring, also he's allowed to carry l'tzorach kufan l'tzorach mekoma because it has a din of a kli, and Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya carried it l'tzorach kufa l'tzorach mekama. So what's the iser? Mishum d'shti ma'ya da'achim. And if Rabbi Ami got upset because mishum d'shti ma'ya da'achim kvelar ma'a, because he was drinking water that was heated by a non-Jewish person, hamar shmol bar yitzchak amarav kol shenachol kamo shu chayin bo mishum shulin achrim, that shouldn't be a problem. Water is edible raw, and it's not included in the iser of bishul akum. Only things that are inedible raw, where the akum made a real contribution to you, only then is there an isra of bishul Nachrim? So it says Gemara, Adam Chashuv Shaini, that it's true that there's no isra of bishul akum, but for an Adam Chashuv, you have to be even more machmir when it comes to things that are otherwise mutter, so that other people won't come to learn from his behaviors and be more makil than he was. So it sounds from here that even though there is a heter of by bishul akum of davar nechel kmoshu chai, an Adam chashuv should be more machmir about things that are, even if it's nechel kamo shu chai. You have a similar mice in the Gemara in Shabbos Taf Nun Aleph that Rav Nachman drank water that was heated by a nachtom nachri, and Rabbi Ami, the very same Rabbi Ami, heard about it and was upset about it. And the Gemara over there also says Rabbi Ami held an adam chashuv shiny, that an adam chashuv is different. So the Chassam Sofer writes that it could be that the two stories though are a little bit different. Over there it's mefurish in the Gemara that Rav Nachman drank the water in his house. In our sugya, it's just a stam that Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya drank the water that was heated by the guy. It could be that he drank the water in the house of the Nachri. So it could be that the Gemara Masechta Shabbos says, who savor adam chashuv shiny, that Rabbi Ami thought to be machmir by an adam chashuv even when you drink in your own house. And ein halacha kamoso. We don't pasken like him, because an adam chashuv doesn't have to be so machmir. But in our sugya, the Gemara says, adam chashuv shiny, not who savar adam chashuv shiny, just adam chashuv shiny, because it could be that we do pasken that way, that an adam chashuv does have to at least be machmir bebeso shel nachri. So that's a distinction the Chassam Sofer makes, that you look at the two sugyas, you think they're telling the exact same story, that an adam chashuv is not allowed to drink water that was heated by a nachri, but says the Chassam Sofer, no, you have to be medayik, whether the Gemara says who savar adam chashuv shiny, which implies that it's a das yachin and we don't pasken that way, or adam chashuv shiny and that we do pasken that way, and that's why he makes this distinction where the adam chashuv is drinking the water. Obviously, we do hold of this kula of davar nechel kamo shu chai. That's the basis why people drink coffee wherever they buy coffee, and they're not makbid about bishul Yisrael when it comes to coffee, because the assumption is that coffee is essentially flavored water, and water is something that that is nechel kamo shu chai. There's a shaila about pasteurized milk. The poskim discuss that if milk is not really drinkable unless it's pasteurized. Now it's edible, it tastes delicious when it's not pasteurized, but it's somewhat dangerous if it's not pasteurized. So do you say, and you assume pasteurization is bishul, so do we require that it be bishul Yisrael on the pasteurization? Because you could say, well, it's not nechel kamo shu chai, you wouldn't drink it without the pasteurization. So that's what the post can discuss, why it is that it seems that we're mekel when it comes to milk. Okay, Amar Rav Chanan al Amar Rav, kotzitz adam dekel v'moed, a person could cut down a dekel tree on chol hamoed, aval b'sheinu tzarech elul l'nesorah shelo, even though he only needs the sawdust. Layit ala abayis. Abayi got very upset about that. That's the Rishonim point out already that you find Abaye when he gets upset about something, Gemara always calls it layit. Layit means to curse. You have such a lashon in Maseches Brachos, in Maseches Shabbos, in Psachim, in Tainus, in Kiddushin, all over the place. So Abaye is always layit ala abaye. So you find the Rishonim point out that there are certain Amoraim that we express themselves in a way where the Gemara uses certain lashonos to demonstrate how expressive they were about certain things. So you have such a lashon layit ala abaye. You have megadif bar Rabbi Avo, tahi bar Rabbi Yochanan. So those are lashonos that paruch Rav Achai. Those are lashonos that are associated with those Amoraim. So the Gemara tells the story of Ashi Havalei Abba Bishalnia. Yeah, Ravashi had a forest in a place called Shalnia, in Iba Bishalnia, Azalimiksiabuchuldamada. So he went to cut down the forest on Chalamoid, and he only needed the sawdust. Amalir of Shilam Shalnia, the Ravashi, Srav Shilam Shalnia, said to Ravashi, Maidai Tech, what do you hold that you're cutting down trees in the forest? The Kamar of Chanan al Amrav, Kotsud and Dekal Bamoid, Afbishan Tsarachal and Sarashalo. You hold you're allowed to cut down trees even though you only need the sawdust? Halait al Abai, don't you know? Abai got really upset about that. Amalei lo shmieli, kolomar lo svirli. Ah, could be that he got upset about that, but I'm not choshesh for what he says. I don't agree. So ishtamit narga boil mifskal l'shake. At that point, when he said, I don't really care because I disagree, the blade of the axe came off and it almost cut his arm off. So Rav Ashi realized that this happened because he violated the klala of Abaye. So shafke. So he said, you know what? Enough chopping for today. Vahadarasa. And then he went back home because he saw that it was dangerous for him. So the question is, how do you interpret that story? So Rashi writes that when he saw that the axe handle came off, Rav Ashi understood that he shouldn't have been mezalzel in Rav Shila in such a way to cut the forest in front of him when he holds that it's usher to do. And therefore Rav Ashi left the forest during that time and he didn't cut it down. After Rav Shila left, so probably Rav Ashi went back and started cutting again. He started chopping the forest again. Meaning Rav Ashi didn't change his mind and say, oh, we must paskin like Abaye. He just realized that it was the chutzpah to go against Rav Shila right in front of his face. So he waited till Rav Shila left. That's how Rashi understands, according to one interpretation. The Beis Yosef writes that it could be Rav Ashi did not change his mind from to agree with Abaye, but he understood that being mezalzel in the covenant of Abaye and saying lo svirili and then going and actively doing a maisa against Abaye was improper, and therefore he didn't do it at that moment. So that's always a question when something happens like min hashamayim, a simin min hashamayim. So how do you take it? Do you take it as a simin that you're paskening wrong? So no, lo b'shamayim he. If you're confident in your psak, that's the psak. The simin min hashamayim is that it's not derech haaretz to flaunt the psak in front of other people. That's what it seems to be according to that interpretation of Rashi and the Beis Yosef. So the Gemara brings another case of a lot of malacha that they're matil for a minor tzorech. Rav Yehuda shor lemekar kit, meaning just like chopping down a forest where all you need is the sawdust. That's a lot of malacha for a small need. Rav Yehuda shor lemekar kit, and Rav Yehuda allowed uprooting pishtan on chalamoid ilumikdal kashusa, and to cut vegetables that are called kashus, a type of vegetable on chalamoid ilumekar shumshmi, and to uproot sesame seeds. So I'm going to buy the Rav Yosef. Bish, lamikit na chazil chafifa. I understand what you need the pishtan for. You can cover up food with it on chalamoid. And kashusa, chazil shikra. And the kashus are hops that you need to make beer. El shumshmi, but sesame, lamai chazi, what are you going to use them for anyway? So chazil le nazye de isbuhu. They're good for the sesame seeds that they have, where you can make sesame oil out of them on chalamoid. So the Gemara brings a maisa to tell us that you have to be very careful when you're making about doing malach on chalamoid. Rabbi Yani Avalehu Pardes. Rabbi Yani had a vineyard. Demata zimni b'chol demada. Came time to harvest the vineyard on chalamoid. So katve le shana shayua. So he harvested the vineyard, and then the next year, all the people who owned vineyards waited to harvest their vineyards until Chalamoid, and that's against the din, because if you have the opportunity to do it beforehand, you're not allowed to push it off to Chalamoid. That's called mechavin the malach Chalamoid. So after Rabbi Yanai the Pardise hayishata, Rabbi Yanai was mafkir his pardes that year because he realized that by being make to a certain extent, everyone learned to be making way more than that. That's Rav Shechter, whenever he speaks at the Chag HaSmicha in YU, he always says that the concept of a Bal Nefesh being Machmir, the concept of when a person is a Rav, you always have to be a little more Machmir, because whatever you're going to be making on, the Balabatim are going to be a little more making. They're going to assume, oh, that's for the Rabbi. And so if you only keep the Ikar Adin, they're going to keep less than the Ikar Adin. So a person has to have, when you're in a position where other people are going to be looking at the behavior, a person has to have certain chumras. Okay, Mishnah. Machlis on the peros of an eganavim. A person is allowed to bring his peros in on chalamoe to protect them from ganavim. Shola pishtonim in a mishra b'shul shalotovad. You're allowed to take your flax out of the soaking waters in order that it shouldn't get ruined. As long as you don't push it off to chalamoe to dafka do it then, because you don't have time beforehand. V'kulam kivdu melach v'moe yovdu. And if you are mechavim melach v'moe, there is a knas that you're not allowed to get hana'a from that malacha. So says Gemara Tanu that the Brisa says you have to bring it betzina into your house because you don't want other people to see and to be even more makel. Rav Yosef had certain beams of wood that he was afraid they were going to get stolen. He brought them in broad daylight. So Abai says, how could you do it in broad daylight? Don't you know that you have to do it betzina? So he says the most tzinuot way to do this particular activity is during broad daylight. Because at nighttime it would take more people to do the job, since it's not as easy to see where you're going, and you would need people to hold lights for you, to hold torches for you. So ab shemilsa, that would be a much noisier and public thing. So therefore, the most sanua way to do this is to do it during broad daylight. So I am doing it betzina to the extent possible. Vishola pishtonim in a mishra. The Mishnah said you could take your flax out of the soaking pool. So by me, Rabbi Yirmiyahu Zera, kivin malachta b'moed b'meis ma'u sheiknu subna achrav. We said that if you are mechav melach l'moed yovdu, then you're not allowed to get benefit from it. So what about a person's mechav melach l'moed and then he dies? Are his children allowed to get benefit from that melacha? So the Gemara says, well, let's look at other areas of halacha where there's a knas on a person and see, does that knas extend to one's children? So im timtzilom tzor mozim b'char kantsu b'na achrav mishum di yisur da'araisa, meaning the halacha is you're not allowed to dafka create a mum on a b'char animal. B'char animal has kedusha, but you're allowed to eat it in a normal way if it develops a mum. But you're not allowed to make a mum on the animal, and there's a knas that if you do make a mum on the animal, you're not allowed to benefit from it. So what about if a person made a mum on the animal and then he dies? Do his children have a knas? So if you're going to say, well, yeah, there's a knas over there, but maybe that's only because it's in a sitar raisa. But over here, we're talking about melechus chalamoid, which is only derabanan. Wait a second. Melechus chalamoid is only derabanan? Isn't that a major machlokas rishonim? So Tosfos and the Rambam say, yeah, exactly. That's our point. You see, Beferish in this Gemara. Melechus chalamoid is only derabanan. Rashi says, no. Melechus chalamoid is daraisa. We're talking over here about if you did a davar aved. It's just that you were mechavin melechta lamoid. That's a derabanan. To dafka wait until chalamoid to do your davar aved, that's only asr midrabanan. So maybe we're not kodis b'no achra. Says, okay, let's bring another ayah. There is a knas that if a person sells his eved to an eved chavim, it's usher to do that because you're being mafkia him from mitzvos. And eved kanani goes through a partial gerus and he's chayiv in mitzvos ki'isha. When you sell him to an eved chavim, he's not going to be able to perform any mitzvos. So what if you sell, so there's a knas that if you sell him to an eved chavim and then he runs away, he escapes from that eved chavim, you're not allowed to be meshabed him anymore. You're not allowed to take him back as an eved. So if you say Marchav Avdolav Chavameis Kansu B'no Achrav, maybe over there we make a knas that even after the person who sold him dies, he's still not, even the children are not allowed to be Meshabe that eved if he runs away from the Nachri owner Mishum Dekal Yom Mafkalei Mimitzos. Maybe that's because when you sell your eved to a Nachri every day, you're taking him away from the mitzvos that he's chayiv in Ki'isha, and when he's by the Nachri, he's not able to be mechayiv those mitzvos. So maybe that's why the Chamer so Machmir. But Hachamai, but over here, where you're mechavim lach to the moed, what's the din about the child? Gavra kanis rabbanan vahale. Say, do we say that it's this fellow that the rabbanan made the knas on, and this fellow's not here in this world anymore? Odilma mamona kanis rabbanan vahise. Or maybe no, maybe the knas is on the mamon, and the mamon is still here. So amalei tenisua. So Rabbi Zeir responds, Rabbi Yirmiyah, we have a Mishnah Masechah Shviyas that should solve this issue for us. Sadash and eskavtsa b'shviyas. If you have a field that you took, removed the thorns from during the Shemitah year. So you're not allowed to do that during the Shemitah year, but Tizar al-Motzai Shviyas. You're still allowed to plant that field the following year, and there's no knas on account of the issa that you did. But netaiva or nedaira, if you fertilized the field, or you fertilized it by bringing animals in to produce fertilizer, lo tizar al-Motzai Shviyas. Then you're not, then the Chacham made a knas that you're not allowed to plant that field on Masai Shviyas, even though those malachas are only asumid rabbanan. The chamur machmir because their malach that's done on the karka, as opposed to removing the thorns from a field which is not avodas hakarka. V'amar b'yosef b'chanina naktina netiva v'meis b'no zora. That even though a person does this and he dies, even though a person who does this is not allowed to plant the field the following year, if he does it and then he dies, his child is allowed to plant the field the following year. Oh, so amal l'didei kans rabbanan l'brei. So there's our raya that the knas is only on the person himself, not on the child. So Hanabi, when it comes to being mechavim lach to b'moed as well, l'idei kans rabbanan l'brei lo kans rabbanan. They only made a knas on him; they didn't make a knas on the child. Amar Abayi naktinan. Abayi says we have a Kabbalah that timei tarosa. If a person is metame someone else's taros, he takes a kohen's truma and he's metame it, so the kohen's not allowed to eat it anymore. V'meis, and then that person dies. Lo kans b'no achrab. We don't make a knas on the child to have to pay back that nezek. This is what we call a hezek she'eno nikar. It's not a physical hezek, it's a spiritual hezek, because the food looks exactly the same, it just happens to be tameh. So there's a knas that you have to pay for a hezek she'eno nikar, but the child will not have to pay for the hezek she'eno nikar. My taima, hezek she'eno nikar, lo shmei hezek, is a hezek she'eno nikar, it's not called the real hezek. So the didei kans rabbanan, the brei lo kans rabbanan. So the knas was only made on the fellow himself who did the hezek she'eno nikar. The knas was not made on the offspring of that fellow. New Mishnah now. Ain lokin batav avadim behema el letzorach hamoed. You're not allowed to buy houses or avadim or animals unless it's letzorach hamoed. To buy a house to live in, never to work with a behema to shecht. Or it has to at least be for the sake of the mocher if the mocher doesn't doesn't have what to eat. In Shulchan Aruch we paskin it's lav dafke in l'mayochal. It means he needs a little more money for tzorchei amoit. So he's going to spend a little more on yamtuv. So he needs a little more money for tzorchei amoit. It doesn't have to be that he's mamish starving. So now the Mishnah said that if ein l'mayochal, you're allowed to sell. So by minei Rav Rav Nachman schar pula shein l'mayochal amahu. That's if the seller doesn't have what to eat. What about you have a worker that doesn't have what to eat? Are you allowed to hire him to work for you for his own benefit because he needs the money, not because the balabas needs the money, the worker that you're hiring? So Amalei Tanina, he says, we have a Mishnah that you're allowed to buy things at Tzorach HaMoed, Old Tzorach HaMochar, Shein Lo Mayochal. So adding Shein Lo Mayochal is L'chora extra, because it's Pasha that it's Tzorach HaMoed of the Mocher is because he doesn't have what to eat. What other Tzorach is there for the Mocher on Chol HaMoed? So it shouldn't have said that. So Lasuyimai, what's it coming to add with those extra words? Lav Lasuyis, Charpula, isn't it coming to tell me this exact case, that hiring a worker when he doesn't have what to eat, when he needs a little bit of extra money, is also going to be mutter. So Rav says, nah, that's not a raya. I'm like, lo, prusha ka mefarish. Don't be poshut the suffix from there. The town is just being mefarish, the din of mechira, the tzorach hamoed, of the mocher. What's the case of tzorach hamoed mitzad, the mocher, where he doesn't have what to eat on moed? But it could be that schar pu'ula is still going to be aser. Say, Abai challenges Rav, why do you say that you can't be poshut the suffix? We're going to have a Mishnah on Daf Yud Ches that says, ein kosvin shtarichov b'moed. You're not allowed to write a shtarchov on Chol HaMoed, because you could just write it after Yom Tov. V'meinu mamino, and if the malva doesn't trust the lova without a shtar, and the lova needs the money, o she'en lo mayochal, or the lova doesn't have what to eat, and he needs the money in order to be able to buy stuff for Chol HaMoed, for Yom Tov, hareza yichtov, then you are allowed to write a shtar. She'en lo mayochal, so when it says she'en lo mayochal, that's extra, because it says even if he does have what to eat, but the malva doesn't trust him, you're allowed to write because it's a davar avid. So lasuye mai. So what's shein lo mayochal coming to tell me? Lav lasuye schar pula. Isn't it dafka coming to tell me this exact case that when the malva does trust the lova, but the sofer, the scribe who writes the shtaros, could use the money, you could use the parnasa for yom tov, that you're allowed to do that just to provide the scribe. You're allowed to write the shtar just to provide the scribe with a little bit of parnasa. So you see that schar pula is takamutr. Shema minas. It says more. Yeah. Okay. Good. So that's a good raya. That schar pu'ula is in fact mutter. So Rav Sheshes now asks on Abayi, most of Rav Sheshes says, well, wait a second. The Mishnah tells us in Maseches Pesachim Dafnun Hey, when it comes to the Yisra of doing malacha on Erev Pesach before Chatzos, v'chamram shalosh umnios, that there are three malachos that osin malacha ba'arve Pesachim, that are allowed to do malacha, begin doing their malacha on Erev Pesach, even in a place where the minig is in Perek Makom Shanag, where the Mishnah says, a place where the minig is not to do malacha, you're not supposed to do malacha. So even in a place where the minig is not to do malacha the entire day of Erev Pesach, ad chatzos, even until chatzos, these people are allowed to do malacha. And who are these people? Hachayotin, asaparin, vakovsin. The tailors and the barbers and the launderers. Hachayotin, shekein hedyo, tofer kadarko, b'chol shalmoin. The raya that a tailor is allowed to do malacha because a regular person who's not an uman is allowed to sew things on Chol HaMoed. Hasaparin, vakovsin, shekein abal mimdin siyam, ayotin, besasurum, mutar, lasapar, lachabis, b'chol shalmoin. And the reason barbers and launderers are allowed to do malacha on Erev Pesach up until Chatzos, because we find a heter on Chol HaMoed that if a person just got out of jail on Chol HaMoed and couldn't take care of these things before Yom Tov, you're allowed to do these malachas on Chol HaMoed. So now Rav Sheshes asks, V'yisal k'dai z'char pula shein l'mayochal shari, kol malach z'nami l'shtru, d'ika z'char pula shein l'mayochal. If all you need to be makil to do a malacha on Erev Pesach is to say there's some way that it's mutter to do these malachas on Chol HaMoed, every malacha has some way it's mutter to do in a Chol HaMoed, as long as you have schar pula, as long as you have a poel who needs the money. So if you're going to tell me that you have a heter called that when a poel needs the money, you're allowed to hire him to do whatever you want, so every malacha has a heter in Chol HaMoed, and therefore every malacha should be mutter on Erev Pesach. So from Rav Sheshes Kash, it sounds that he holds that the reason we allow chayatim and saparim and kovsim to do malacha on Erev Pesach is because there is some heter in Chol HaMoed. So any malacha that has any heter to do on Chol HaMoed, In any circumstance, you're allowed to do an Erev Pesach in all circumstances, because apparently Erev Pesach is more kal than Chol HaMoed. So the Gemara now challenges that svara and says, nah, that's not the real reason for that. It's not that Erev Pesach is so much more kal that if it's ever mutter on Chol HaMoed, it's always mutter on Erev Pesach. Masra Papa Elameata, if that's the case, that even without a heter of Asiyas Malacha on Moed for a Pol, Shein Lo Mayochal, Binyan L'Shtari, it should be mutter to build build on Erev Pesach, Shekin Kosal HaGoel L'Rishus HaRabim, Sosur Abonu Kedakrum Nea Sakana, because after all, there is a heter on Chol HaMoed, even without this Schar Pu'ula Svara. If you have a wall that's threatening to fall and damage and hurt someone and be a Sakana in the Rishus HaRabim, you're allowed to build it on Chol HaMoed. So here you have a case where it's mutter to do a Malach on Chol HaMoed, so it should always be mutter to do an Erev Pesach. Maskel Ravina, Elamayata Lavla Lishteri, you should be allowed to, a scribe should be allowed to write on Erev Pesach Shekein Kosvin Kiddushin Nashim, because you're allowed to write Shtari Kiddushin when you're Makadish Nisha Bishtar, and Gittin Vishover, and you're allowed to write Gittin, and you're allowed to write a Shover. If a Lova doesn't want to pay his Chov, unless he gets a receipt for it, you're allowed to write it, because maybe after the regal, he's not going to be able to find, he's not going to have the ability to get paid back. So why are these things also to do on Erev Pesach? So you see that the main reason they were matted these Malachas on Erev Pesach is not because there's some way that it could be mutar chol hamoed, because everything has some way that it's mutar chol hamoed. Elo amar Ravashi moed arba asar karamis. The heter malacha on chol hamoed, you can't ask a stira between that and the heter malacha on Erev Pesach. Moed mishum tirchahu. Moed, the issue is that you shouldn't be toreach and be memait in the simchas haregel, but makom pseid the shor rabbanon. Therefore, if it's a case of loss, the rabbanon are going to be makil so that you don't have to be worried about the loss of money and prevent yourself, hold yourself back from simchas yomtov. So anything that's for simchas yomtov, like schar pu'ula, they're going to allow. Arba asu mishum sorach yomtov. The isur malacha on Erev Pesach is so that you'll be free in order to prepare properly for yomtov. You're not going to be caught up in doing other malachos, but it's not because of tircha and amal, because it's not yomtov. It's chol. It's a weekday. It's erev yomtov. So midi the tzorach yomtov sharu rabbanan. Anything that itself is tzorach yomtov, like getting a haircut, like washing your clothing, like tailoring your clothing, so all that rabbanan are mekel. Midi the lav tzorach yomtov lo sharu rabbanan. But that which is not a tzorach yomtov, the rabbanan are not mekel on. So the main reason the chamor allow on malacha and erev yomtov is not because erev yomtov is more kal than chol hamoed, and therefore anything that's ever mutter on chol hamoed is always going to be mutter on Erev Yom Tov. No, the main reason they allow these things in Erev Yom Tov is because all these things are a tzorech Yom Tov. So you can't ask on Abaye, like Rav Sheshes wanted to ask, that if Schar Pu'ula is really mutter on Chol HaMoed, then every malacha should be mutter on Erev Pesach. No, it's two totally different conversations. One has nothing to do with the other. Okay, new Mishnah now. Ein mefan mi bayis labayis, al mefan mi lechatzeri. You're not supposed to move grain or kalim that are not l'tzorach hamoed from one house to another, that's far away from it, because that's an excessive tircha on chol hamoed, but you're allowed to move it out to the chatzar. So the Gemara is going to explain why. Ein mavin kalim beis uman. You're not allowed to bring kalim from the uman's house on chol hamoed when you don't need them for the moed, and mechosh them mefanim l'chatzar acharis. But if you're afraid they're going to get stolen, you can bring them to a chatzar that's close to the beis uman, where they'll at least be protected, because that the chum were mekel b'makom hefsid. But you shouldn't bring them all the way to your house, because that's an excessive tircha. So the Mishnah says you're allowed to move the kalim from a bayis to a chatzar. So the Gemara understands that's even from a bayis to a different chatzar, from a bayis in a different chatzar to your own chatzar. V'amit reisha ein mefan klal, but didn't the reisha say that you're not allowed to move it? So it sounds like me bayis to a chatzar that's far away from it, because there's no reason to be mechalik between moving from one house to another house and moving from one house to a bayis in a chatzar. So the Reisha and the Sefer associate each other. So I'm a bayis, Sefer Asan Labayis Shebichotzer. No, the Sefer that's Mekel is only to a bayis in that very same Chotzer, not to a bayis in some other Chotzer. Vein Mavin Kelim Mi Beis Uman. We said you're also not allowed to bring Kelim from the Beis Uman. So I'm Rav Papa, Badiklan Rava. Rava tested us in order to sharpen us. Tana, and he said the Mishnah says, Ein Mavin Kelim Beis Uman, Uraminu, but I'll ask you a stira, because there's a Mishnah Psachim that says, Malichan Mavin Kelim Beis Uman, Vafal Pishen Lutzarach HaMoed, that you are allowed to bring Kelim from the Beis Uman, even though it's not Letzorach HaMoed, Vishanin and Lay. So Rava asked us this question, so the Talmidim answered right away, Kan Barba Asar, Kan B'chol HaShemoed. What are you talking about? The Mishnah Pesachim is talking about Erev Pesach. We're talking about Hilchos Chol HaMoed. Iba Yisema, or we could answer, Hava Hava Chol HaShemoed. Maybe even the Mishnah Pesachim is talking about Chol HaMoed. Kan B'Mamino, Kan B'Sheinu Mamino. But our Mishnah is talking about where you trust the Uman, that even if you pay him on Moed and you leave the Kli by him, he's not going to ask you for payment a second time. But maybe the Mishnah Pesachim, where we're more makel to transport the item from the base of Uman, is talking about where you don't trust the Uman and you think he's going to ask for payment a second time. Va'atanya, so the Gemara brings a raya to this chilik between ma'amino and eino ma'amino, that we have a braisa, mevi'in kelim mibeis la'uman. This va'atanya is benichusa, meaning it's a, Rashi points out on top, siyua. Sometimes, most often, va'atanya is a kasha, but over here it's not a kasha, it's a raya. Va'atanya, mevi'in kelim mibeis la'uman, kigon kad mibeis hakadar. You're allowed to take kelim from beis la'uman, like a pot from the potter, v'kos mibeis hazagag, or a glass from the glacier. Is that what they call a glazer? Whatever, the guy who makes glass. Avalot semer mibeis hatzaba, but you're not allowed to bring wool from the dyer. Velo kelim mibeis uman, nor kelim from the uman, because it's a tircha, that's not a tzorech hamoed. V'imein lo mayochal, but if the uman doesn't have what to eat, nosin lo skaru, you could pay him, umenicho atzlo, but leave the stuff with him. V'imein lo ma'amino, but if you don't trust him, and you think he's going to ask you for the money again, manicho b'yis ha-samachlo, then put it in a bayis that's near where the uman lives. If you're afraid it's going to get stolen if you leave it there, then mavin mitzina b'toch beis, then you can bring a mitzina into your house. So you see that there is a chilik between bringing kelim when you trust the guy and when you don't trust the guy. That even kelim that you're not allowed to bring in beis ha'uman, if you don't trust the guy, you are allowed to bring them. So that's how we're meyashim the stira between our mishnah and the mishnah maseches pesachim. So ask the gemara teratz the mavin. You answered the stira as far as mavin. Then in pesachim it says that you're mavin kelim beis ha'uman. Our mishnah says ain mavin, but malichim kasha. The mishnah maseches pesachim says you're allowed to be molich kelim, bring the kelim to the beis ha'uman. And our mishnah says you're not allowed to dekatani, because it says in our mishnah ain mavin v'kol shkein shein malichin. You're not allowed to bring it back home, so for sure you're not allowed to bring it to the beis ha'uman, because that's a tircha shelo l'tzorech hamoed. And you can't answer that the mishnah pesachim is talking about with the balabayis that you don't trust, who doesn't trust the uman, because the din of ain malichin is talking about where the kli is already in your rishus. It's not in the rishus of the uman. So it must be the first answer was the right answer, that the difference between the mishnah pesachim and our mishnah pesachim was talking about erev pesach. We're talking about chol hamoed, and they have two totally different sets of halachos for erev pesach and for chol hamoed. Okay, new mishnah again, continuing to discuss things that aren't quite a malacha but involve excessive tircha. Mechapin es haktzios bekash. You're allowed to cover your figs with straw so that to protect them from the rain. Rabbi Yehuda omer af ma'avin, that you're even allowed to be ma'avin. We'll have to see what that means. The Gemara is going to distinguish what mechafin versus ma'avin means. Mokre peros, ksus, v'kelim, mokre betzina l'tzorech hamoed. If you're selling peros or clothing or kelim, you're allowed to sell them a betzina for the sake of moed, but you're not allowed to sell them shalol l'tzorech hamoed. So even a mechiru l'tzorech hamoed has to be done betzina, because you're afraid that people are going to see you selling and they're going to think that even shalol l'tzorech hamoed it's mutter. Hatzayadin v'adashoshos, people who trap birds and chayos and fish for food, right? Hunters and deshoshos, people who crush grain to make porridge or whatever. Vagarosos, people who crush beans for some type of dish. Osin betzina l'tzorech hamoed. They're allowed to do that malacha betzina for the sake of the moed. Rabbi Yossi Yomer heimich mir latzman, that the mochrim and the balei malacha that the Mishnah mentioned are machmir about doing these malachas on moed, and we'll see what exactly that means. In what way were they machmir? So anyway, so the we had in machlok stanakam and Rabbi in our Mishnah. What you're allowed to do with your figs that are out in the field? Are you allowed to be mechape or even ma'ave? So pligi bar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Rabbi Asi v'tarvayim mishmei dechizke v'Rabbi Yochanan. Chad omer mechapin aklushe. Mechapin means you put a few branches that are somewhat distant from each other. It's not a really good cover. Ma'abin asmuche. Ma'abin means you pack it on tightly so that it's really, really covering the figs. V'chad omer mechapin ben aklushe ben asmuche. That no. Mechapin means you cover however, even if you cover really well. Ma'abin means also sukkim in kri. Ma'abin means that you gather all of the ktsios into one pile so that the top ones will protect the bottom ones. It's not only that you're covering it with straw, or covering it with something else, you're covering it with themselves because you're piling them up. Ma'abin also sukkim in kri, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. And we have a brisa that says just like that, the Rabbi Yehuda says, ma'abin means also sukkim in kri. Mokrim peres ksus ksel kel mokrim betzina. So Yibailu says, we have a shayla. Heinach mir alatzman dlavei avdi klal. When the Mishnah said that the mokrim were machmir alatzman, what does that mean? Does that mean they didn't even do it betzina? So Rabbi Yossi is more machmir than the Tanakama, who at least allows doing it betzina. Odilma dahavu avdi betzina. Or maybe Rabbi Yossi is saying that the balei amlacha were extra machmir to only do it betzina and not to do it befaresia. In which case Rabbi Yossi is really being makel, because the Tanakama says min hadin they have to do a betzina, and Rabbi Yossi says nah, it's a nice chumrah that they had to do a betzina, but it's not a requirement min hadin. So which is it? Is Rabbi Yossi being more makel or more machmir? So Toshima says, "Where we'll bring a raya." Mokre peres k'sus kevim mokre betzina l'tzorach hamoed. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Tagre Teveria. Rabbi Yossi says that the Mokre Perusim Ksusim Kalim that were in Teveria, Hein Ichmiru Al Atzman, Shloyu Mokrim Kaliger. He spells it out. What were they Machmir to do? Not even to sell Betzina. Sadei Chayus also to Dagum Sang Betzina Litzorach HaMoed. You have people who are hunters, they're allowed to do their job Betzina Litzorach HaMoed. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Sadei Akko, Hein Ichmiru Al Atzman, Shloyu Tzadim Kaliger. They wouldn't do it at all. The Shoshe Chilka Tagus Vitisni, Doshim Betzina. The people who make porridge and other dishes are allowed to do but sin the Tzorach HaMoed. Rabbi Yosef with the Shoshin Tzipore Heino Chmir Alatzon Shloi Doshim Kol Iker. In each case we see that Rabbi Yosef is more machmir than the Tanakam, and he says that they were machmir, that they were noeg not to do it bichlal. So Amar Rabbi Chilka, what does it mean to make wheat into Chilka? It means Chadal Tarti, means to cut each kernel of wheat into two pieces, and Targis is Chadal Tlas, it's cut into three pieces. Tiski is Chadal Arbaz, to cut it so finely that it's into four pieces. Kiyosu Rav Dimi Omar Kunta, that Chilka is not a chita, but it's kosemes. It's a different grain that you're cutting up. So Meisve, Chilka Targus V'tisni Tzmein B'kal Makom. Then Mekabel Tuma wherever you are, because you can't do them without, you can't do these jobs without soaking them in water. Water is Machshir L'Kabel Tuma. So even though Stam Solas that you have in villages is not Mekabel Tuma, because the Bnei HaKfarim are not Makbid to have Solas Nekiah, so they don't clean the kernels of wheat before they grind it up, but by Chilka, Targus and Tisni, it's not possible to do this job without soaking it in water. So even in Kfarim, you have to assume that it became Hukshul Kabal Tuma. So Bisham, the man Yamarayan, said the Brisa very well, Chadal Tati Latasal Arba, Mishamachi Tmein Bekal Makam, that it's talking about cutting up the kernels into different tiny pieces. So I understand why we assume that it's always going to be Tami Diskasher, because it obviously had to come in contact with water, because there's no way to cut it unless you soaked it first. But if you hold that it's kosemes, and it's not cut up wheat, it's kosemes, I might main become makom. Then why should it always be tamei halavas kasher? Who said that it ever came in contact with water? We're not talking about where you cut something up into tiny pieces, so there's no hechrich to say that it was ever soaked. So the Gemara answers when Rav Dimi says that chilka is kosemes, it means kigon de mikalfan. It's talking about where the seeds of the kosemes are peeled. Dilav de sharlu b'maya lav miklifa. It's impossible to peel them without soaking them first. So it's also something that has to have come in contact with water. But my kari lechilka, why would they call kosemes that's peeled a chilka? Deshakal chalkayu, because they take the peel off, which is a portion of it. So chilka means that they took a chilek of it off by peeling it. So meisvei, the Gemara asks another kashan Rav Dimi, had no der min hadagan. If a person takes a neder that he's not going to get any hana'a from any dagon, asur apapala mitzri yavesh. He's also not allowed to get hana'a from a certain type of bean when it's dry. That anything that's the derech to make it, to make a pile out of it like a goren, is called dagon. Even a pula mitzri, it doesn't have to be one of the chameshis mini dagon. Umutu balach, but a pula mitzri that's moist, he's allowed to, because they would never make a dagon out of it. They would never pile it up in the field. Umutu ba orez, and he's allowed to get hana'a from orez, because rice is not a min dagon. And bechilka v'targus v'tisni, and he's also mutter to get hanaa from chilka targus and tisni, because they're not also, oh, they're also not included in dagan. So bish on the man yamachad tati chadul tas chadul arba shapir. I understand very well if this means that you cut up wheat into tiny pieces. I understand the nafkalu mitoras dagan, that once you cut them in these ways, it's not considered a dagan anymore, because wheat that has changed is no longer called dagan. It's now called deshishin or something else. Even though they wouldn't pile them up in the and they wouldn't pile them up in the field. Elamandi Amar Kunta Dagan Malyuhu. But if you hold that the chilka just means kosemes, a peeled piece of kosemes, that is a real dagan. Kosemes is a type of chita, meaning all of the chameshes mini dagan fit into really two categories. There's chita m'saorim, and then shibol shol. All the others are in the categories of chita or saorim. So this is a type of wheat. It's the seed of the and it's their garin. So why, if you're not min adagan, are you allowed to get hanaf from kusma? So kasha. So that's taka kasha on the interpretation that it in fact means kusma. So then the Mishnah said that mochre perus ksusa kelim could be mochre betzina letzorach hamoed. So the Gemara says, is there ever a case where they could even be mochre befarhesia? So if Huna Sharlu Lahanu Karufiasa, he allowed those people who would sell spices lemezel lizmunikir chayu b'shuka to sell in the normal way on moed, the way they would normally during the weekday in the shuk befarhesia.
bless you.
Says Rav Kahana. So Rav Kahana challenged Rav Huna that the Braisa says that Chanus Psuchel Stav, that if you have a store that opens up into a small Rechava that's in front of the houses that's surrounded by benches and people go there to sit, Poseach V'Nol Kedarko, you can open and close in the normal way because it's Pasuach to Umakom Tznua, so it's not a Farhesia type of sale. Psuchel Rosh Hashanah, but if you have a storefront that opens into Rosh Hashanah, Poseach Achas V'Nol Achas, you can only open one door and leave the other door closed. You have to do it a little bit different than you would throughout the rest of the year, so that it should be recognizable that you're only selling Litzorech HaMoed, that it's like a partial opening so that people could realize it's only Litzorech HaMoed. V'erev Yom Tov Achron Shel Chag Motziu Ma'ater Eshuki Ha'ir B'Peros. And Erev Yom Tov of the last days of Yom Tov, the last day of Chol HaMoed, you could take out all the peros so that the whole street is full of peros and you sell it before Asim B'Shvil Kvod Yom Tov Achron, for the sake of the Kvod Yom Tov Achron. Ooh, so Mebnei Kvod Yom Tov Achron in Shalom Nei Kvod Yom Tov Achron. No, it sounds like it's only because of the Kavod Yom Tov Achron. But short of that, you're not allowed to just sell Bifarhesya on Chol HaMoed. So it's a Kashan Rav Huna who allowed the people who were selling Tavlin to sell Bifarhesya even on the rest of the days of Chol HaMoed. Says Mor Lo Kasha Habipiri Habetavlin. When the Brisa says you're not allowed to sell Bifarhesya, that's talking about payros that are still going to exist after Chol HaMoed, after Yom Tov, and you could sell it then. When Rav Huna allowed the sellers of Tavlin, that's talking about types of Tavlin that are not going to last very long. And everyone knows that they have to buy them Litzorech HaMoed, no one's going to be choshed. So therefore it's mutter to sell them even in a Farhesia situation. Hadron Lachmisha Hafach, we're all caught up now. B'Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with the beginning of the third parak of Maseches Moed Katan. Everyone have a great day.
Thank you very much. So good day. Yeah. Thank you.